You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to Season 13, Episode 7 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. In this season, we're discussing various social issues that are facing our society today. And in this lesson, we're going to be talking about drug abuse. Let's get started. When we talk about drug abuse, we're talking about a somewhat broad topic. It includes illicit drugs such as marijuana or cocaine or heroin. It includes legal drugs like alcohol and tobacco. And it can even include prescription drugs. And in this episode, we're not talking about the medicinal use of drugs. But instead, what we're doing is talking about the recreational use of these substances and what can lead to the destructive use of these types of substances. Now, there are a lot of people who use alcohol, use drugs, use tobacco, and sometimes you'll hear arguments that are in favor of these things because people want to try to justify their actions and want to say that there's nothing wrong with it. There are a lot of those who argue in favor of recreational drug use, even something like social drinking. And they'll say that as long as they're in control, that these substances, they're not used to excess, they're not harming themselves, they're not harming others, and so therefore it's perfectly fine to use these substances, whether it's marijuana or alcohol or any of these other drugs, that as long as they're not hurting themselves, as long as they're not hurting other people, then there's nothing wrong with it. And sometimes what you'll hear is that people, in trying to justify this, they'll say that, well, it's no different than someone who, eats unhealthy foods. You can, have a Big Mac and that's not necessarily healthy for you, and say, well, if you can eat that, well then, what's the difference between these drugs or alcohol or something like that? And so you have some people, even some religious people, those who claim to be Christians, who will try to justify the recreational use of these types of substances. Now, to get an idea of the extent of the problem that this is in our society, consider the following statistics. In 2014, approximately 27 million Americans, which is a little over 10% of the population over age 12, used illicit drugs. So in that year, 10%, a little over 10% used illicit drugs or illegal drugs. In the same year, almost 140 million Americans over the age of 12 were currently using alcohol, with 16.3 million reporting heavy alcohol use in the prior month. So that's, you think, 140 million. I think roughly half of the country was currently using alcohol, and 16.3 million were using it heavily in the prior month. In that same year, in 2014, about 6.5 million Americans over the age of 12 reported current non-medical use of prescription drugs. So not as the drugs are prescribed, like painkillers, sedatives, stimulants, tranquilizers, not using them as they're prescribed by a doctor, but using them for another reason, using them recreationally, using them on their own. And in 2013, 22.7 million Americans needed treatment for a substance disorder, which is almost 9% of the population over age 12. So 22.7 million needed treatment for this, but only 2.5 million received such treatment at a specialty facility. And there's an article that talks about all of these statistics. They'll be linked in the show notes if you want to check that out at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast. You can find that. But not only do we see in those statistics how widespread this problem is, the use of alcohol and use of drugs, did you notice that when we were going over those statistics, it mentions the number who were using these, the number who were using alcohol, the number who were using drugs? It was the number of Americans over the age of 12. So this is not just about what adults are doing. This is about what kids are doing. Those who are in middle school and high school, they are included in those numbers. And you still have the numbers that are as high as what we noticed. You still have numbers that high when you include middle school and high school students. So this is not something that, well, people grow up and then they get involved in these things. In a lot of cases, people start early. Kids start abusing these types of drugs and using these drugs recreationally. And they start young and they continue on into adulthood. Now, what does the Bible have to say about this issue, about drug abuse, and particularly the recreational use of drugs and alcohol? The first point I want us to notice, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Scriptures teach that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." And that passage there talks about our body being a temple of the Holy Spirit. And there are people, Christians, who have different theories and ideas about what that means as far as how the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We're not going to get into that here. But regardless of whether someone takes a view that the Holy Spirit dwells in us directly and personally, or whether this is more of an indirect or representative indwelling in a Christian through the Word, regardless of which view you take of that, the point is the same on this, is that our body is to be used to serve God. That is where we serve God. That's where we honor God. We use our bodies to do that. And because of that, because we use our bodies in order to carry out God's will, in order to serve Him, we are to take care of our bodies. Over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 29, when Paul is talking about marriage, he talks about the responsibilities of husbands, how they are to love their wives and care for their wives. And he says in verse 28, "So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does for the church." The point that he's making is that the reason why you take care of your wife, you husbands, the reason why you take care of your wife is because she is one flesh with you. She is as though she is your own body. And no one ever abuses his body. No one ever mistreats his body or hated his own flesh. But instead, what he does is he nourishes and cherishes it. So the point is, you nourish and cherish your wife. But that responsibility to the wife is based upon the fact that God expects us to take care of our bodies. And so we start with that premise, with that principle, that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, because that is what we use. That is how we engage in our service to God. We don't worship God apart from our bodies. We don't serve God outside of our bodies. We use our bodies to serve God. We use our bodies to carry out the responsibilities He's given us here. And so for that reason, He expects us to take care of our bodies. Now, with that in mind, look over in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, I mentioned that we were talking about the recreational use of these substances, even the destructive use of these substances, and not the medicinal use. But I wanted to make a point here, because it's important that we make this distinction about the medicinal use of these types of substances. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 23, Paul told Timothy, "No longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments." We see here that Timothy, he was not one who would drink wine. He abstained from it. But Paul is explaining to him here that using certain substances, like wine in this occasion, use alcohol, and as he's talking about here, is acceptable to an extent if it is used for a medicinal purpose, if one is careful how he uses it, not just abuses it and drinks as much as he wants because, well, it's to help keep me healthy. No, it's careful. It's for a specific purpose. He says, use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. It was something that was not common for Christians to engage in because Timothy had to be told to do this. Christians just weren't out drinking just commonly. Peter told the Christians over in 1 Peter chapter 4 is that you used to do that as the Gentiles, engaging in drunkenness, carousings, and drinking parties, but now you don't do that anymore because you're a Christian. And that's what Timothy was. He was a Christian. He didn't live that type of life anymore where he was engaged in that type of behavior where he was just consuming alcohol and drinking wine whenever he wanted to drink wine. Paul says you can use this for a purpose, for a medicinal purpose. And so the principle here would apply to things like prescription drugs, that there's a place for those. We do need to be careful with them, but there is a place for them provided they are used for a medicinal purpose, that we are careful in how we use them, that we are in control of how we use them. But when we get to the point of drug abuse, where we are destroying our bodies, or even if we're not destroying our bodies or causing a lot of harm to our bodies, but we're using our resources, particularly our money, for these things. These types of drugs and this drug use is a form of poor stewardship. Poor stewardship, number one, of our bodies. We talked about Ephesians 5:29, that we are to nourish and cherish our body. We're not doing that when we're using these types of substances. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul said, "But bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things." So the emphasis there is a focus on godly discipline, focus on your spiritual well-being. But the point also is that bodily discipline is of some profit. It is of little profit, or a little profit. And so there is a place for taking care of our bodies. That, again, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is how we fulfill our responsibility to God and to the responsibilities that He's given us here in this life. It's how we serve Him. We are to be good stewards of our bodies, and drug use is not consistent with that. But not only that, using these substances, and it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's tobacco, whether it's alcohol, whether it's marijuana, whether it's the recreational use of prescription drugs, and any of these drugs that we want to talk about, by using those, we are not being good stewards of the money that God has blessed us with. Over in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, the wise man said, "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce." You put God first. You don't waste what He has given you, what you have been blessed with, on just whatever you want to do. Like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, he received the inheritance from his father, and then he squandered his inheritance on loose living. Now, we're not told exactly what loose living constituted in his case, but loose living really is just living as you want to live, doing what feels good, doing what seems right, doing what you want to do at the time. And for a lot of people, that is using alcohol. That's using tobacco. That's using these different types of drugs. That's loose living. And people squander their money, some people to the point where it leaves them homeless and destitute. And others, it simply leaves them in a state where they can't properly take care of their family, they can't save for the future, they can't pay off the debts that they have, and so they waste their money because they're using these substances. They can't help others as they might have otherwise been able to help. So drug use that we're talking about here is a form of poor stewardship of, one, our bodies, and two, the money or the resources that we have in this life. And also over in 1 Peter chapter 1. The scriptures teach us that God expects us as his people to be sober-minded. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13 says, "Therefore prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Be sober-minded. That means be in control of your mind. Over in chapter 4, we mentioned this earlier, but in chapter 4, it talks about that the time past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, pursuing a course of drunkenness, carousings, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. We are to put those things away. We are not to engage in them anymore. We are to give those things up, because 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." There is the enemy that is trying to stop us from serving God. He's trying to pull us into sin. Well, how do we stop him, or how do we stand against him? Well, we have to be sober-minded. We have to be thinking clearly. And these substances hinder our ability to think clearly. And the wise man warned about this in Proverbs chapter 23. He's talking about alcohol. But really, the principle applies to not just alcohol, but any type of drugs like we're talking about here. Any of these substances that can alter the way that our minds work. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 29. He says, "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long over the wine, those who go to taste mixed wine." And so then he warns, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. Sound like he's saying that, well, you can drink as long as you don't get drunk. No, don't look at the wine. In verse 32, "At the last, it bites like a serpent, it stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things. Your mind will utter perverse things. You won't think clearly. You won't see clearly." Verse 34, "You'll be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down at the top of the mast," that you are passed out in a situation where you ought to be alert. You ought to be aware of your surroundings. Verse 35, "They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink." These substances cause us to lose control of our mind. And then the last part there, "When shall I awake? I will seek another drink," addresses the other problem. The last problem we're going to talk about is that these types of substances are addictive. Alcohol is addictive. These drugs that people use are addictive. And we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 12, we are not to be mastered by anything, which includes addictions. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. He says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything." These substances lead to addiction. We cannot be mastered by anything. We cannot allow our minds to be taken over or hindered and handicapped when we are to be sober-minded so that we can resist the devil. We are to use our bodies in a way that honors God, that is a good steward of what he has given us. And drug abuse is inconsistent with this. So because of that, as Christians, we cannot use these substances and think that, well, no, there's no problem. I'm going to stay in control. No. Proverbs 20 and verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker." We think we're in control, but these substances are hindering our ability to serve God and hindering our ability to avoid sin. If we want to please God, we cannot follow what the world does in this respect. We have to avoid these types of substances.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.
Yesterday, I started a new series of articles on the website called Regular Christians. And this series will focus on some lesser-known Christians in the New Testament, individuals like Dorcas and Tychicus and Antipas and others. And we're going to look at those to see what lessons we can learn from them. The new articles will be released, Lord willing, each Monday over the next several weeks. So you can check those out on the website, plainbibleteaching.com. Or even better, you can subscribe to the weekly newsletter if you haven't already done that. That way you'll receive the new articles as part of each week's email that goes out every Friday. You can go to www.plainbibleteaching.com/subscribe to sign up for that email newsletter. Next week, we're going to be talking about atheism. Until then, I hope you have a great week.